you for being here tonight, and appreciate the spirit of the Lord we feel, and the spirit that's lingering in the service tonight. What needs to be done in this service, amen, is going to be done by the Holy Ghost. And so if we can yield to that and follow that and cherish that presence, then maybe what God and all of heaven is wanting tonight will be done on this altar. Wouldn't that be a wonderful time? Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I stand at I always take preaching is so vital, and I take it very seriously, and every service to me, that's why I go to church when the doors are open, because it's vital and important. Every meeting in honor of God, amen, and especially when some lost soul comes or someone on the brink, amen, comes and maybe are touched by the worship of the saints or the exhortation of the scripture or just the environment like we feel right now when the Holy Ghost is trying to pull, amen, you in closer and away from the shadows and away from the wolf in the shadows. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God merciful to reach beyond us and beyond our faults and failures and weaknesses and calamities and give us grace for the hour we live? Can you say praise the Lord? I want you to turn with me. I really am burdened tonight, and I just need the Lord to help me. Words are so powerful, and I'm so incompetent to use them in the right manner. I really need the Lord to help me to say it right. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Luke tonight, in a very familiar text. And if you'll listen, I'll tell you what I feel like would be the Lord's will. I'm gonna preach a few minutes. I'm gonna try to get my point across, and we're gonna be moving toward this altar. Did you hear me? And in order to do that, I'm going to have the help of heaven and you. And I may have said it. I don't think I've ever said this, but I may have said sometime I'm going to preach with you or without you. I don't think I've ever said that, because I've seen people say that, and they went down so fast that I never did want to say that. But I want to try to preach with you and for you. Amen. And maybe the Lord would reach for somebody in this house tonight and get them back in good standing with the heaven. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Now, I want to read 16 and beginning with verse 19. And I hope you'll bear with me. I felt the Lord deal with me about this several months ago now. And I feel like tonight I need to try to give you my heart about it tonight. Now, you know the text. I'd like for you to just listen really intently to every word, and then let me try to say something that would be in God's will tonight. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, oh my goodness, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Amen. I want you to lift your hands this way and ask God to touch this poor preacher here tonight and needs unction from heaven. I want you to pray for me right now. Ask the Lord to help me. Thank you for your prayers and standing here tonight. I'll try to get right into this sermon tonight. I've never learned how to preach. I wish I could. But I'm counting on the Lord helping me to open this something to you tonight concerning these scriptures. When you look at this, and you know, really this is an awesome scripture. Because Jesus Christ, as you see this in red letter here, Christ, he opens our knowledge of the world beyond this world. And he tells us about a hell. And I didn't read all about hell. That's not going to be my main thought tonight. Amen. But, you know, he does bring us the doctrine, if you call it that. And he expounds about the afterlife and what happens to a man, amen, when he dies in the wrong position with God. Amen. And this man happened to be a rich man. And the Bible said that after he died, amen, that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, I began to look at this scripture a few months ago, and I've been just pondering, you know, how you do in studying and reading and devotion. And I looked at this scripture, and I said, you know, what kind of man was this man, amen, that ended up in hell? That became, amen, an example for Christ to use. Some said, you know, it was a parable, but it did say there was a certain man, amen, that lifted up his eyes in hell. Somebody's gone to hell. Amen. I don't want it to be me, do you? I don't want it to be you, do you? Amen. I tell you, I've been to a lot of funerals, and I declare I have never seen anybody dead in that casket that I didn't wish could have lived on. Not one. I've never walked by one that I said, that's a good enough for him right there. But everyone I've looked, something in me just said, I wish we could have got a prayer through. I wish it hadn't happened because we realize, amen, that after death, amen, comes an eternity. Amen. And this man died, amen, and went to hell. And so I looked at this scripture, and I began to ask myself the question, what kind of men go to hell? What kind of man was this? And I'm going to just tell you right now, amen, I'm going to title this, brother, amen, but I want you to understand, I'm not really preaching and throwing this at you necessarily. I'm just telling you how God spoke to my heart. And I began to look at this. And of course, when I looked at the first characteristic of this man, amen, I really didn't feel like I could relate to him. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. The first, amen, characteristic of this man that went to hell, amen, the Bible said he was a certain rich man. How many feels like you can relate to him tonight? Huh? No. There's not many of us feel like we can relate to him, but I looked at it, amen, and I said, amen, do rich men go to hell? Amen, is that what the characteristic was? Amen, if that's the characteristic, I'm in pretty safe ground. Amen, because I'm really, that's the way I talk to the Lord, Brother Rose. Amen, I said, Lord, he was a rich man. Amen, and so he went to hell. And then I began to ask the question, did this man go to hell because he was a rich man? Come on now, I want you to answer that question. Did he go to hell because he was a rich man? The Bible didn't say, amen, that it was a sin to be a rich man. The Bible said the love of money, amen, was the root of all evil. Are you listening to me? Amen. This man was a rich man, but it did not matter. It was not a sentence of hell, amen, because this man was a rich man. And neither was it a righteousness because the other man was a poor man. And so I began to investigate a little bit further. And the Bible said that he was a man, amen, that was clothed, amen, in purple, amen, and fine linen. And so I looked at his apparel, and I said, well, maybe, amen, this purple, amen, what does this mean? And of course, you know, the purple garment had symbolism in that day, amen. But really, you couldn't say that the purple garment in itself, amen, that outward show of position in the community was not really the sentence of hell, amen, in his life. And even the linen under his purple garment, that the fine linen, and I'll maybe mention a little bit more in just a moment, but I kept looking, amen, at this scripture, and I began to ponder, and the Lord kept pointing me, Brother Gabbard, back to a situation. He kept pointing me back to this man at the gate. Now stay with me just a little bit. I looked at his wealth, and the Lord, that's not where it's at. And he pointed me, and I kept looking again. I looked at the purple garment. Amen. And still I felt the Lord say, amen, it's not, amen, in that garment. Are you listening to me? Amen. And then I looked at the fine linen, and the Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. He was prosperous. Amen. But that is really not what is the Lord trying. I hope the Lord, y'all going to help me preach a little bit. What is the Lord trying to tell us? What is he trying to tell Randy Webb? Amen. When I looked at this man at his gate, and the Bible said that he was laid, amen, somebody took this man every day and laid him at the gate of the rich man. Listen to me, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart, and I am preaching, amen, this message right here. I'm preaching on the man at my gate. Hallelujah. Amen. Not your gate. I'll let you fill in where you want to fill in. Amen. But I looked at this whole chapter, and I felt like it was this man's treatment, and this man's attitude, amen, and this man's behavior, amen, concerning the man, amen, at his gate, amen. Because really, Brother Savage, when you read this chapter, it's not about adultery, amen. It's not about that. This chapter is not about, amen, drunkenness, amen. It's about stewardship, amen. Read the whole chapter. It's about a man having plenty, amen, but ignoring the man, amen, at his gate. It was about a man that prospered and had a lot of blessed things, amen, but it was indifferent, amen, toward the man at his gate. It was about a man that fared sumptuously, amen, but just overlooked a man that had nothing, and a man that was hungry, and a man that desired even the crumbs from his table. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all gonna help me? Brother, the Lord began to churn my heart. Amen. And he took me, and really, and you can take it what it's worth. And I'm going to try to close out pretty quick here. Amen. But he let me know, Brother Marty, amen, that I had not even escaped the rich label. Amen. The Lord said, you are rich. Amen. And I looked at it, and I said, I'm rich. Oh, yes, you're rich. I want you to look what you've got. Amen. That this world needs. Somebody say, amen. We are stewards. Amen. God gave us nothing that he did not mean us to distribute. Freely you have received. Amen. Freely give. Oh, somebody say amen. I think sometimes we're too interested in the purple and the linen. Amen. And how it looks. And we forget the man we're walking over in the gate. Who laid this man at his gate? I believe God laid that man at the rich man's gate to give him a little probation that he would stop and show some mercy, then God would give him mercy. Hallelujah. Lord got to deal with me, and I got this message, and I started praying about bringing it up here to preach. Amen. And I want to tell us a little something here tonight. When I thought about this congregation, and I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul, and I'm the least among you, but I want to preach to you a little bit tonight. Amen. There are some rich people in this house tonight. Are you hearing me? I look at these men on this board and on this platform. Amen. They are rich men. You say you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do know that. I've known you for a long time. I've been in your churches. I've seen God work miracles for you. I've seen God save your children. I've seen God call them to preach. I've seen God put them in the ministry. I've seen God raise you from the dead. I've seen God bless your church. I've seen God save your boys. I've seen God anoint you to preach. I've seen God bless you in talent. I've seen it. And there's every one of you are rich in this house of God tonight. We're not going to go to hell because we're rich. We're going to be lost if we forget and overlook the man at our gate. Many call him, you know, the Latin term for rich man is Dives. I often wonder why they call this rich man Dives. It's a Latin for rich man, Dives. Y'all just stay with me. I'm determined to preach this sermon. The man at my gate. Who laid this man? But you know, that purple garment represented position, statehood, power of the state, politics. Amen. He wore that purple garment out in public, and it told the world who he was. It told the world the wealth he had. It told the world the position in his society that he possessed. Amen. And there he wore that. And I don't mean to get rough here. Amen. And I hope you'll understand. Amen. But I don't think we ever, amen, ought to get just carried away. Amen. With the position. Amen. And I've seen this. Amen. With the church is so concerned about how they look in the world. Amen. They no longer are they concerned about being separate. Amen. And being that light among the darkness. But they want to know if the world is, amen, approving of what they're doing. If the world feels comfortable in their service. Are you listening to me preach? Brother, that's not what God is calling us to do. Amen. God wants us to be concerned. Amen. With that man at the gate that we're crossing over every day that we go to the church house. Amen. Come on now. Amen. That purple of position and power and politics, it may destroy us from the thing God called us to do. That linen, even the priest, I don't know, some say he may have even been a priest. He was probably a Pharisee, religious man. That linen represented purity, comfort, pleasure. You ladies that sew or buy, that linen is a breathing material that's comfortable in the summertime. And, amen, it speaks of pleasure. Amen. And it speaks of, amen, just at ease. And he put that linen close to his body. And, brother, he was comfortable. And then he put the shroud of power, amen, and in the eyes of the world honored him. And all the time, this man had the purple sash and the linen close to him. It reminds me so much of this modern-day church world, amen, that are seeking comfort and pleasure. I want to know where the Lord ever said, if you follow me, you'll have comfort and privilege. Are you helping me preach a little bit? Oh, we're in a pleasure crazy world, and the whole time we are within ourselves, like this rich man that had walled himself in his whole life. Amen. Meant nothing. He did nothing. He was
was nothing. Even though he was rich and powerful, he did nothing.
He lived his life for nothing. And when it come time to die, he had nothing to live for. Huh? I wish I was a preacher right here. I'll tell you, listen to me now. I felt the Lord speak to me this, and I wrote it down. It's not that astounding. But I want you to hear this right here. As I begin to study this and I begin to preach and think about the man at my gate, amen, and all the privilege God had gave me and the comforts God gave me and the heritage God gave me, and then think about the man in my gate every day of my life that would love to have mercy, that would love to have grace, that would love to have salvation. Oh, you're not listening to me preach. There's somebody right here in this house. If we're not careful, we'll sit and be entertained. Amen. And that man that's sitting right here in the gate of the house of God will be lost.
The man, and all the years of preaching, I believe this has proved out. The man who does not seek the lost will by and by lose himself.
Oh Lord, I wish I was a preacher. I apologize to you. I wish I was more of a preacher. I said, the man who will not seek the lost. What did our Savior do? Did he come to save the lost? But what did he do before he came to save the lost? What did he do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek, we must get up off of our church pew. We must get out of our comfort zone. Amen. Come on now. We can't be satisfied with our purple, amen, and our fine linen, and the fact that we're fair and sumptuously, and the numbers up, and the ties are good. Amen. Help me preach. And the community knows that we're holiness. We cannot be satisfied, amen, with that. God has given us this for a purpose. And I want to tell you, he has given this camp meeting all these riches for a purpose, all this heritage. Amen. And it just stirred me tonight when I seen you walk in and the young people with blank looks and lack of concern. Amen. The next generation is going through the motions, stepping over the lost, stepping over the hurting, stepping over those that are less fortunate, and going and filling our position in our church society while the lost go to hell.
I believe this man at his gate, I believe, Brother Paul, that this man represented an opportunity for this rich man. Oh, come on now. I believe it represented an opportunity for him to redeem himself, for him to reach over. Oh, help me preach a little bit. I'll tell this. I probably shouldn't tell it. I don't know how much time I've got. But years ago, a few years back, when I first started pastoring, 26, 7 years ago, there was a young couple came to our church. Ronnie and Hazel were their names, had a couple little kids. They came through our church, and you know, they were going from one place to the other. We helped them. Make a long story short, the man was a drunkard. He was an alcoholic, just a young man. At the time, he was the same age I was, about 27, 8 years old. Had those little kids, and his wife, Hazel, was just a young lady. Please stay with me just a minute. She was just a young lady, and very pretty young lady. Couple of little old kids. And years, he got drunk and had, you know, several children, but they just traveled all around. He couldn't hold a job. And their boys grew up and got on drugs. And as the years went by, Hazel came through again without him, without the boys. Just had the little girl. Her name was Rhonda. She's 12 years old. And she would come. They would come through, and, you know, she'd ask for help, and we'd help them, and they came through for years, and we'd help her. But when she came through after all those years, about 20 years later, she came through again. I didn't even recognize, amen, her teeth were gone. Her hair just about white as snow. And little Rhonda, 12, 13 years old. Amen. I hope I can help you. I'm preaching on the man at our gate. Hallelujah. And she came through again, and we would help him rent an apartment. Amen. And her husband was a deadbeat, a drunk, and would beat. And so I found out what they were doing. Rhonda and Hazel were living in that car, little old Chevrolet car, beat up, all their stuff hanging out the windows. And she would go around, and what she was doing, I found out she had a little check came for that girl, and she'd get that check and she'd move on, because her husband would get it and take it and spend it on drugs. Her boys were druggies, and so she just stayed on the road, moving from one place to another, picking up that check and moving on. And she came through, and we helped her. Amen. Y'all listen to me. We helped her till we were almost aggravated at helping her. Amen. And one day, she came through, and I just came from Falk. I may have told this before. I'm going to hurry. I feel like I ought to tell it. I came from Falk. I preached a camp meeting, and they're very good givers. I had several dollars in my pocket. And I'd come in, I had a weekend to rest, and then I was going to Blue Springs and preached their camp. I was there at the house by myself. I stretched out on the couch, and the phone rang. And it was the little girl, Rhonda, on the phone. And she said, "Preacher," said, "we're passing through town. Mama's out of her medicine, and we're at the drugstore. We have no money. She had rheumatoid arthritis, and she's just all gnarled up now and in pitiful shape." And Hazel was suffering. And I'll be honest, Brother Gabbard, I was laying there thinking, oh, boy, I shouldn't have answered the phone. I hate to say it like that. Amen. But here I was, I had that offering in my pocket, several hundred dollars. Amen. And I could just feel the wings flapping on that money. Amen. It's going to fly away. Amen. She said, "I'm at the drugstore. Is there any way you could come by, amen, and pay for this medicine?" So, Mom, and I said, "Well, you just go on." I had to be careful about meeting them. You know how I mean. I said, "You go on. Come back in an hour at the drugstore." So I went over $40, I believe, and I paid that. Amen. That man at your gate. Help me now just a minute. Amen. About a week later, I was down at Blue Springs, and she called again. She'd made it up into West Virginia, and she said, "My car's broke down on the side of the road. It's terribly hot. I don't know what to do. You've helped me so much, I'm ashamed of it. But could you help me?" Amen. And so I got on the phone, and I don't want you to think that I'm telling this for anything other than to get a point across. Amen. But I called a wrecker. They went out and got the car. They put it in the garage. Here goes my offering. Amen. Out the window. Here's another. And then, she said, he said it was going to be overnight. We don't have anywhere to stay. Amen. She was calling from different places. I called the motel. Amen. Super 8 was down inside. Amen. There went my offering. Super 8. Amen. Then she says she called back from the motel room. Amen. Said, "Nothing to eat. There's a Denny's up the road." I said, "God, call me." Hallelujah. Calm down here now. I gave Denny's my debit card number. Huh? I went home, preached that meeting, and went home. I got another call. This is Rhonda again. Mommy's bad, sick, and the car broke down again. It broke down right here in your town. Said we were headed to West Virginia. And Mommy said something told her you needed to get back to church down there where Preacher Webb is. And so we made it back. The car broke down right here today's end. And I don't know what to do. Mommy can't hardly walk. And I said, "Well, get her in the motel." I called the motel. The rest of my offering. I said, "But you better be in church Sunday morning." "Oh, we will, Preacher. We'll be there." Sunday morning early, Rhonda, 13-year-old, called me from the hospital. Mommy said she's sorry. She's too sick to come. I said, "Well, I'll send some sisters from the church, and you come tonight. We'll be there if we can." She couldn't come. Another night motel. Next morning, the ladies went up there. I said, "Y'all go up there and see what's going on." They called me on my cell phone. "You better meet us at the emergency room. Hazel's bad off." Went to the emergency room. Hazel had hemorrhaged, and she was bleeding to death. I went in, and she said, "I put you down for the next of kin. I want you to take care of Rhonda. But I want you to know I got saved. And I ain't going to smoke another cigarette." That's what she said. That meant, you know, to her. She wanted me, I guess she knew I wanted to hear that, you know, or something. And she just smiling and bleeding to death. They put her in intensive care, and they said, "I think we got her, you know, I think we've got her where she can, you know, survive." And 3 o'clock in the morning, they called, "Is this Randy Webb? Your name is on this record of last of kin, next of kin to a Hazel Hurt. Is this you?" I said, "Yes." Said, "She's deceased." I went over 3:30 in the morning. There stood little Rhonda in intensive care, sobbing. Huh? I'm preaching on the man at my gate. Well, here's the kicker right here. The motel called me, said, "What about this car out here in the lot?" I said, "The lady died." "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but when can you move the car?" So I went up, got in that little old car. It was just out of gas. Put a gallon of gas in it and started it up. But I noticed in that car, little notes of paper stuck everywhere. And I probably shouldn't have, but there was one stuck right in the grid of the air conditioner where that wheel went. I pulled that note. There was notes stuck everywhere. I pulled that little note out, and it was a letter to God. And it said, "Dear God, today is told the day and the date." And I noticed that date as the same day that I was laying on the couch when my phone rang. And she said, "Dear God, today, such and such time, Mama is suffering so bad. We don't have another dime to buy medicine. Would you please help me some way, like you always do, find this money to take care of Mama?" And then she said, "Love, Rhonda." And at the bottom, she had my name and phone number. Are you listening? You know what God did? He carried Rhonda and Hazel to this rich man's gate and laid her right there. You're not getting this. I'm not preaching, Emma. I'm not preaching to you. Huh? Are you listening? There's a lost world out there. I really believe somebody in this house, God has laid a mature gate. If we're just concentrating, and I love all things about church, but if I just concentrate on my position with the brethren and this comfortable linen I've got underneath, amen, and I never seek those in need. I know Lazarus was a saved man. I understand that. But I hear this rich man in hell, and you know what he cries? The first thing he sees Lazarus up there, and he sees him in Abraham's bosom, and he asks for what? What did he ask for, Brother Brent? What did he say? He said, "Father Abraham, do what? Have what? Have what? What did he say? Have mercy on me." Woo, help me a little bit here. Amen. I want to preach to you a little. Amen. I'm talking to a wholeness church. Amen. We cannot, amen, just be satisfied. You're not helping me preach here tonight. I said, I'm not just talking about being benevolent to the poor, but I'm talking about those that are lost and those in the church house that you haven't spoke to in 6 months that are carrying the heaviest load of their life. And you come in with that purpose. Robe of comfort and wealth and the linen of privilege, amen, and overpass those in need.
I wish I was a preacher here tonight. I hope you understand me here. I can't preach much longer, amen, because I want this altar. I want somebody to come to this altar, amen, but I want to preach to you.
Amen. God, amen, pointed me to this rich man. Amen. And he said, the trouble is not in his purple garment. Amen. It's not in that linen comfort and privilege. Amen. No. I want to ask the church world here tonight, whatever happened to the cross in your life? Oh, I wish somebody would say amen. Oh, we're satisfied with the cross, with Jesus hanging there. But how about us picking up the cross? Amen. And dying to this world that we can help somebody in need tonight. I wonder if this rich man, and I'm going to ask you and I'm going to close. Sing for me. I wonder when the last time, I'm not talking to the preachers right here. I wonder the last time you sitting here with such privilege and such wealth, when was the last time you asked the question, what am I doing? If that rich man, brother, would have stopped one day going into his big fine home, if he'd have just stopped and said, what am I doing today? Oh yeah, I'm going to sit down at a table, amen, and fare sumptuously, but what am I getting done for eternity? Amen. We come in and sit down, amen, and wait for the show to begin, but I want you to ask yourself the question, who God has blessed to be Americans in a free country, amen, to have blessings, amen, abundantly, amen, what are we doing? And then ask yourself the question, where am I going? Yeah. Ah! What are you doing? I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now. What is the holiness, people? Oh, I feel the drawbacks. I feel it. I feel you bristling up, you purple sashed saint. I feel you bristling up on me, something are comforted and cozy in your linen garment. Everybody knows you're religious. Everybody knows you won't tolerate evil. But what about that man that watches you every day of your life bypass that one that you could show a little mercy, show a little comfort? Amen. Just a crumb from your table. Some of you are so sanctified, and I'm not against it. Just a little bit of your devotion would bring some old druggie out of the pit. Amen. Just a little bit. Amen. Come on now. You could show them how to pray the sinner's prayer. It may not be eloquent like yours, but you could tell them the sinner's prayer and see their marriage put back together if you'd only stop. If I could get this giant that's sitting here tonight to awaken, you could take that little boy right there. Ricky, I don't want to embarrass you. You could take that little boy right there. Could probably lead some old drunk to the Lord if he really wanted to get saved. And I'd say he could tell him enough, right? That little boy right there could tell enough of the gospel that if they believe it, amen. Are you listening to me? And what about us, Brother Paul, that cut our teeth on these pews, that have been blessed and saturated, Brother Michael? Amen. When you over there in that lot, don't go into it. But how the Lord has brought you, and where He's put anointing on you, amen, and put a zeal in your heart. Amen. And I'm not accusing and pointing fingers, amen. But I felt God say to me, amen, what about the man at your gate, amen? That God put him there as a probation for you, to see what you had, to see what she's willing to give. Amen. I believe that poor old woman Hazel, amen, I feel like God, amen, put her there at my gate, amen, to try this preacher. Are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. Somebody help you. I want to know about you tonight. You come into this house of God, and I know we need to worship. We need to worship God in this house, but we need to not forget there's one in this house tonight that if they die, they'll go to hell.
I don't know if I'm doing any good or not. Would you pay out? Come. I need you to pray. I need you to lift your hands right here. I need to make an altar call here. Would you bow your heads and pray? You say, which way did you go tonight, preacher? I'm not sure. The Bible said, be careful to entertain strangers. For some have entertained angels unaware. In the judgment, they'll say, I was hungry and you fed me. What a surprise. When did we feed you? When you've done it unto the least of these. And there was another surprise. He said, I was hungry and you fed me not. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are we on? What are we doing tonight? Every song we sing, what are we doing? When we chord that bass, what are we doing? What's our plan? What's our purpose? When we have this camp meeting, won't you look what a crowd here tonight? Won't you just look? Just stop praying for a minute. Look around. Won't you look around? Wonderful crowd here tonight of rich people. You know what it is to feel the power of the Holy Ghost? You know what it is for God to do miracles? 3 years ago, he raised their chairman up. 2 nights later, he was shouting around the altar. We're rich. You're in this house tonight and you feel like you're on the outside looking in. I want to tell you, we're going to stop right here. And we're going to see if there's anything we can do to help you. Huh? Do you need a crumb from the table? You see, not only was this man put there for an opportunity, I believe it was his very redemption. And I believe it's going to be our redemption. We quit winning the lost. We quit encouraging those that are discouraged. Are you listening to me? We're going to die. The man that quits seeking the lost, by and by will lose himself. I wonder tonight in this house, am I telling it right, preachers? Am I telling it right? You take a church that loses its vision to go out in the highways and byways, make disciples, huh? They'll die on the vine. I'm preaching to you tonight in this house. There's a man at your gate. You're in here tonight and somebody has brought you here. You're not saved. I want you to know right now this camp meeting cares about you. Can you say amen, church? Oh, God. Yes, we're holiness preachers. We believe you live right. You live what the Bible says. You live a sanctified life. But we're not hard. We're not unforgiving. We're not unmerciful. Amen, church? Because such were some of us. If that rich man, I wonder what would have been the outcome if it only stopped and took time for the man at his gate. That tells a lot about his character. And it does the character of this camp meeting. We're going to stop right now. I want you to bow your heads one more time. Oh, I hope I've not worried you tonight. Brother Brent's going to sing. He's going to sing. And we're going to ask you to stand all over the building.
Oh, so remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary. 'Cause if one soul is saved, it's worth it all.
I want us to lift our hands and begin to pray. I believe, Lord, what's the work in this house tonight?
Remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call.
I tell you what I'd like for the church to do tonight while they sing. I'd like for us to be making our way down to this altar and begin to talk to God. You say, but I pay my tithes, preacher. I give to the church and I come when I can. But what about that man that God has put in your life, on your job, at the grocery, your neighbor, at the family reunion? How about it? Come on, friend. I want us to seek the Lord.
I never run from the call.
Are you lost here tonight? Why don't you come and let the Lord save you? Have you been sitting at the gate of the church? The church has stopped here tonight. We're going to offer you some help if you'll let us. Won't you come?
Oh, I can't count the miles. Sometimes I get so tired. But after all you've done, it's the least that I can do.
Come on, there's room up front for you.
Oh, so remind me, Lord, you've called me.
We're stewards of the gospel and the grace of God. I think this whole audience ought to slip up here and bow your knee and say, Lord, make me an instrument of grace in this world.
And when I see those teardrops falling, please remind me of my calling. And may I never run from the call. Oh, so remind me, Lord, you call me.
Somebody.
Though sometimes I may be weary, 'cause if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. Oh, when I see those teardrops falling, please remind me of my calling. And may I never run from the call. For a world out there is dying. It's full of lonely people crying.
Oh, you've let's chosen get a hold me of God and just
tell them
tonight
about you.
Oh,
so
Lord,
remind me, Lord, you've called me.
Oh,
though
God.
Sometimes I may be weary.
Oh,
'cause if one
soul
is saved, it's worth it all.
Give us souls for our labor.
Oh, when I see those teardrops falling, please remind me of my calling. And may I never run from the call. My name may never be in lights on a marquee. The world may not applaud me when I preach, but if I can be a light or a beacon in the night, oh, that's all that I desire to be. So remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, 'cause if one soul is saved, it's worth
God
it all.
On fire.
Oh, when I see those
teardrops
falling, please remind me of my calling. And may I never run from the call. For a world out there is dying. It's full of lonely people crying. You've chosen me to tell them about you.
Now let's be faithful stewards of the gospel.
So remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary.
You can do something for the Lord.
Saved,
what am I doing?
All.
Where am I going?
Oh, when I see those teardrops falling,
where am I going to spend eternity?
Remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call.
Oh, let's fix it up right now.
I was just a child.
Fill us with your Holy Ghost power.
I knew all the while you wanted me to preach, Lord, just for you. Oh, we can't count the miles. sometimes we get so tired. But after all he's done, it's the least that we can do. Oh, so remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, 'cause if one soul is saved, it's worth it all.
It's the man at your gate.
Oh, when I see those teardrops falling, remind me of
it's
my
the
calling.
Man at the gate.
And may
not
I
the man
never
at the
run from
fellowship.
The call. Oh, for a world out there is dying.
It's the man at your gate.
It's full of lonely people crying.
The man
and
I laid there.
You've chosen me to tell them
you
about
ignored.
You. Oh, so remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes
go
I
into all the world
weary,
and preach the gospel.
Because if one soul
teaching
is
them
saved,
to observe
it's worth
things
it
I
all.
Commanded you.
When I see those
but
teardrops falling, remind
be a reacher.
Me of my calling, and may I never run from. Oh, hallelujah! So remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, 'cause if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. Oh, when I see those teardrops falling, remind me of my calling.
Somebody here need the Lord to help you. It'd be a good night for God to set you on fire.
Since I was just a child, I knew all the while you wanted me to preach, Lord, just for you. I can't count the miles. Sometimes I get so tired. But after all you've done, it's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you've called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, 'cause if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. Oh, when I see those teardrops falling, remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call.
Oh, somebody get in the work of the Lord.
Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Show me things I've never seen before. Oh, Lord, I want to be your witness. Oh, you can take what's wrong and make it right. I pray, Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Oh, let your words speak to me and show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. If you can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, I pray, Daystar, shine down on me and let your love shine through. Lord, I see a world that's dying. They're wounded by the master of deceit. I see them groping in the darkness. They are haunted by their years of past defeat. see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Oh, let your word speak to me and show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. If you can take what's wrong and make it right. Oh, I pray days start shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Follow anywhere you open up the door. Oh, let your word speak to me and show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. If you take what's wrong and make it right. I pray day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my share and show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your life. I pray day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. Sing it with us. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Oh, let your word speak to me and show me things I've never seen before. Take what's wrong and make it right. I pray day stars shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night. If that's your prayer, lift your hand and sing it with us. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Oh, anywhere you open up the door. Show me things I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. If you can take. I tell you, God's still in this place tonight. Oh, let's not quit on the Holy Ghost. Let's ask God to stir us and change us. Oh, day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me. Oh, listen, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. See them groping in the darkness, haunted by their years of past defeat. Thank God that I see you standing near me. You're shining with compassion in your eyes. That's when I pray day star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.